your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. And we like to start the program with a scripture reading. I'm going to the book of Hebrews. It's chapter 13, verse 15. It's short, but it's powerful. It goes like this. Through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the sacrifice of praise. That's meant a lot to me this week. And again, thanks for joining us on this program. We will share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So that's what we do on this show. We share God's word, and we pray that God will open up your hearts to receive the word today and also give you eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We also have all of our podcasts are now loaded on iTunes. We have a website as well. It's everydayfaithradio.com. We've got lots of good stuff on there for you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Jeff Gaffney with Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with today's special guest. Please stay with us.
And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us today. With us on the program, special guest, Linda Fields is in town. She's here for a conference. It's called Women Abide, hosted by Joan Hutter. And Linda, thank you so much for being on the show. I'd love to have you here.
Thank you, Jeff. It is fun to be here and see your world. We like what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And it's such a treat to get to know you and others who are attending the conference. So thank you. How we like to start the program, if you don't mind, is we like to talk about the faith journey on this show. So we like to uncover how you became a follower of Jesus. And then I'm going to ask you a bunch of other questions.
Well, that's a great place to start. I'm a preacher's daughter.
Oh.
And I heard my dad preach about Jesus many times in my life. But there came a Sunday when I was 7 years old that I was sitting in church and I heard my dad preach about Jesus dying on the cross. Mm-hmm. And when I heard it that day, I knew it was for me. Mm. Now, as a Baptist preacher's daughter, I hadn't done anything too terrible by the age of seven. However, I had done something that plagued me. We were at a revival dinner with a revival preacher and singer at one of the greatest little saints in the church's home. And she had made fried chicken and all the trimmings, and everybody's laughing and telling stories. And as a little seven-year-old girl, I went into the restroom, and I saw some of the most beautiful bubble bath beads I had ever seen. They were gold, and they were squishy, and there were like 12 in a package, and I had to have them. And I took the entire package, put it under my full skirt, and trotted it out to the car and hid them under the seat. And I bore great guilt for stealing Mrs. Riley's bubble bath beads. And when I understood that Jesus died on the cross for all my sin, I thought my heart would beat out of my chest that day. And I just wept, understanding that Jesus died for my sin. And, you know, we grade our sins, and we might chuckle about a sin of stealing, but sin is sin. And sin required that the blood of Jesus, who is perfect, be shed on the cross. And as much as that hits us in the face to even try to understand what that means, when you understand it's for you and say yes to Jesus, that's when you become a believer. So I was 7 years old.
Well, you know, that it's interesting that you say that, because oftentimes I've heard the message, for God so loved the world that he, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And oftentimes, I think people get washed over with when they say God so loved the world, whereas if you can break that back down to God so loved Linda.
Yes.
God so loved you.
Yes.
And all of our listeners individually.
Yes.
God
That's
so
true.
Loved me.
Right.
It becomes...
Instead it's personal.
Instead of just this kind of ocean, that's important too, but then it becomes a meaningful, personal mm-hmm. experience. Sorry.
That's right.
Well, tell us if you would, and this is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have Linda Fields with us on the program. Tell us if you would, how has your faith kind of helped you from that time when you were 7-year-old little girl to the different stages of life? How has your faith helped you and made an impact on your life at different, maybe, crossroads?
I think the next major time I would speak of in answer to that question happened when I was 14 years old, Jeff. We had not a lot financially, but we were happy. Actually, we didn't know we didn't have a lot, which is was kind of a good thing back in the day. We learned to love the church. We loved all the attention from people in the church caring for each other. So many good things happened. But when I was 14, I hit something I could not process on my own with God. And this was actually an explosion that I was in. My dad had gotten out of the ministry because of the pressures on my mom, and it was stressful for her emotionally to the point of affecting her mental health. And so he made a move to a different career as a social worker, which required that we move to another town. And then yet, even in that new town, another move quickly to a rent house out in the country. Here we are. I'm 14 years old. I'm in the 9th grade. I'm in a new school, which I thought was like as big as New York City. You might notice I have a little Texas thing going on here. Well, I didn't know how small of a town we'd been in Lytle, Texas, just a little dot on the map, if you can find it at all. So here was the stress of a new school, trying to meet new friends as a teenager. I had a new mini skirt all laid out on the bed to wear. It was purple with little green dots on it. And I was wearing nylon hose, and I had my hair teased up. This is late 60s. And my dad was just doing everything he knew to do to take care of our family in this season. My mom was depressed and addicted to uppers and downers, sedatives, diet pills, had a little brother 4 years younger than I. And so here we all in a stew, having made this move very quickly and getting ready for school. There was a big bathroom that was open. We were all kind of in and out getting dressed. And my daddy went in and knelt down to light the hot water heater. This was a butane hot water heater. And in this time, there was no scent added to butane. We had no way of knowing butane had been leaking into the house all night long. So when my dad struck the match, the room went up in flames. Oh. And everything I could see was orange flames coming for me. And nylon hose attract flame, and butane is a gas, is a low-lying gas. So it was a time where there was a lot of trauma. Found ourselves in the emergency room. And the whole first night, Jeff, I was bandaged from mid-thigh down, and my arms, my lips were crusted out. I was in shock. I was just, it just starts sinking in that I'm in a bad way. I'm in a really bad way, and I can't figure this out. And the first night, I found myself startling awake, feeling my body float up off of the bed. And I would think, I've got to work to stay on this bed. And of course, I hadn't moved anywhere in the natural, but we found out later prayer chains were going around the clock from our little church, interceding for God to spare little Linda Lowe's life. And God did spare my life. But the ensuing journey after that required that I was moved to a burn center. And I had third-degree burns on my legs, which means all three layers of skin are gone. And I began to ask the Lord a few questions. And where had he been? And had he not seen this, or had I done something wrong? And in this burn center where many people are hurting and children are crying, and you don't want to wake up every day because the bandages they just applied to your open wounds are going to be removed and dressed and reapplied. It gets down to you and God real quick. And the Lord brought to me the passage in the Bible that talks about a potter shaping the clay and how the clay is on the wheel and God is forming, and how it's sort of ridiculous at some point if the clay were to rise up and ask the potter, what are you doing? And I just realized in that moment, this is what was happening. And I also began to understand, if God had not been with me, I would not even be alive. So the way I look at it, the devil wanted to take me out at 14. But this is a time where my faith had to be mine or not at all. I believe, frankly, Jeff, that when people have hard tests at a young age in life, it's actually a huge opportunity to decide who God's going to be to you. And in that moment, as the Lord began to help me process, and I was alone, not with family or support structures, but the Lord was with me. The Holy Spirit was with me. And I thought, you know what, Lord, you did save my life. You're also the one, as I recall, who made the lame to walk and the blind to see. And I said, Lord, I ask that you would heal these legs without skin grafts. I was scheduled for skin grafts because in a third degree burn, your skin doesn't come back unless it's grafted from another place on your own body or a donor. And I'd watched my little roommate come and go from skin graft surgery after skin graft surgery. And I just started every waking moment asking the Lord if he would just want to heal my legs without skin grafts, that I would love to tell it. So one day the doctors came in, and they come from all over the world there to study at the Burn Center in Galveston, Texas. And my skin grafts were on the schedule already. And one doctor said, you know what? I think we need to watch this a while. It just looks like little patches of skin are beginning to pull together. Well, burns leave you quite a fright with scarring. And I won't, in case anyone has a weak stomach, I won't go into too much detail. I'm just telling you, it's not a pretty picture. But I sat up in that bed. I guess the God just gave me strength to say it. And I told all these well-educated doctors, I said, well, I said, the great physician is on my case.
Amen.
And so the doctors are like writing on their charts. And I'm sure they're saying, get the psychiatrist in here. Get this girl with the social worker, you know, get some help. But I'll tell you, I never had a skin graft. And just the Lord heard the prayer of a 14-year-old girl in a burn ward. And it's like that for all of us when we hit those hard places in life where we don't think there is any way out. God is there when we reach out for him and allow him to inform us where he is in the moment. Sometimes we don't wait long enough for him to show us that point. If I wasn't with you, Linda, you wouldn't even be alive. And it's like, okay, I get that.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break in just a second. But Linda, that reminds me, one of the bedrock verses on this program is, I'm sure you're familiar with Genesis 50:20, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. And it sounds like in the middle of just a devastating, challenging, tough time for a 14-year-old young lady, God shows up in the middle of the mess and suffering and strengthens this relationship and answers prayer for you. And it sounds to me, I can't wait for the next part, to hear the next part of your journey, but it sounds like God showed up in a big way.
He did. The thing I think about as I'm listening to you, Jeff, about the next part of the journey, I think God does give us milestones in our walk with him. And you're right, that was a huge one for me. But if I can fast forward about 30 years from that point, I was sharing a taxi cab with a person from the airport going to a professional meeting. I was a business professor in a college and was off to a professional meeting. And as the taxi driver said, anyone else going to such and such hotel? A man raised his hand. So we ended up there in the Windy City sharing the taxi to go to our hotel. And in the conversation in the cab, he says, well, what are you in town for? I said, well, I'm here for a training convention. I said, what are you here for? And he goes, oh, well, I'm a burn doctor, and I'm here for a convention. And I'm thinking, you just think you're here for a convention. You're here for this cab ride. And what happened in the next few minutes as he began to ask me about my treatment and my burn story, he was shocked when I explained to him that I had never had a skin graft. Mm. And he said, well, you know, that just doesn't happen. Mm. I said, I know. Mm. And so he was looking at me and processing, you know, you could watch what was going on. And he said, well, tell me about your treatment. Tell me what they did. Tell me how they took care of you. And I said, well, you know, I don't remember the names of any particular treatments or medicines or medical terms. I said, but I'll tell you something I'll never forget. I was lowered in these hot, over 100-degree whirlpool baths twice a day where the dead skin was taken off, and this was a very grueling process. And I said, I'll never forget that. And in that moment, this doctor looked at me, and a very somber look came over his face. And he turned his glance as though he just couldn't look at me for a minute. And he looked out the window. And then his eyes came back and met mine again. He said, ma'am, he said, we do not do that anymore. He said 70% of the patients who had this treatment that was supposed to fight infection died of septic shock because it was found to spread infection. The presence of the Holy Spirit filled that cab in that moment. And it was as if God was saying to me, girl, you know some things I've done for you and some ways I've helped you, but you have no idea I have stood in for you and how I have spared your life. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, Jeff, what came to me, or in the moments following, what if I'd taken that opportunity to be mad at God at 14? Because as a young teenager, I ended up with very scarred legs and having to wear support hose the rest of my life and actually having to learn to walk again in the hospital, thinking God wasn't for me when he was fighting for me in ways I couldn't even see.
We're going to take a quick break. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more of our interview with Linda Fields. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. And with us today on the program is special guest Linda Fields, who's in for the Women Abide Conference in Charlottesville. And Linda, that's such a powerful testimony. In the first half of the program, we got to hear how you came to know the Lord. Then you got to experience the miraculous provision of the Lord. Incredible story. Can you, for our listeners, kind of take us to the here and now and tell us, what does Linda do now?
Well, thank you for asking. You know, the faith that was born out of salvation at 7 and tested in the fire at 14 and the journey of getting to know God, it's true in every part of your life. And I will say that I have met God just as dramatically in the business world as I ever did in a hospital or in a little Baptist church. Over time, I came to have this knowing that God was really for me and that God was interested in my life and that God had a plan for my life. And I today teach people a lot of the secrets that I've collected over the years about how to be a spiritual professional, which some people think are two opposing ideas. Mm-hmm. But the fact that God meets us in business is what allowed me to teach college from the summer. As soon as I graduated with my bachelor's, I became a teaching assistant at Southwest Texas State in San Marcos. Just developed this love for business. My husband and I had a little sporting goods store called The Field House. And just began to find that all the answers weren't in the textbooks. We were hiring students from the college just a few years younger than ourselves and teaching them how to take inventory and how to make sales. And, you know, my textbook would tell me, well, don't mix your personal life and your business life. Keep it all separate. You know, check all that personal stuff at the door. Well, we were doing it the total opposite. We were bringing all of our employees home with us for cookouts. Mm-hmm. You know, they became some of our dearest friends. And for us, it seemed natural that we wanted to lead like Jesus led. Mm-hmm. When people said, well, where do you live? He said, well, come and see. Come follow me. Mm-hmm. So we started a journey in our very young 20s of following God in business. That developed into my teaching college and later creating a corporate learning center that I say evolved from a prayer scribbled on a yellow tablet. And the quick story about that is we found ourselves in a situation where I taught for many years. My husband had had the business and done different things. But you just have those times where you've got this yearning for something more. Mm. And I was asking God during a faculty meeting on a yellow tablet, hoping the dean was thinking I was taking notes on what he was saying. But I'm going like, God, I got to have something new and big. And within a matter of days, was meeting with the college leaders. And we created, out of need to serve our community, a corporate learning center that was out of the typical academic mode. Mm. And that means that I got the answer to my prayer, and a whole bunch of other people got the answers to their prayers. And over the next 12 years, a wonderful initiative sprung up that was a corporate learning center, was profitable from year one, mm-hmm. and where I got to develop a high-performance team and put everybody in their power alley and run like crazy. Mm-hmm. And in 12 years, we built a beautiful corporate learning center, high-tech, state-of-the-art, and we had chances to pray for people that were in very high positions and very low positions and watch God work. Mm. And when people say, well, was this a Christian institution? I love to say it was a public institution, but I'm a praying woman. Mm. And so I have found that when you do business with God out of a place of prayer, mm. anything can happen. Mm. And I feel like a lot of people in the business world think they need to go become a preacher or a missionary to do things that really count for God. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you're called to do, you should do it. Mm. But if God has called you to business, you've got opportunities like nobody else. Mm-hmm. And I am all about igniting this vision in people and giving them tools to run strong, doing business with God all over the earth.
Mm. Wow, I love your vision on that. And I love the fact that listening to your story with the yellow pad, that you sort of started scribbling and doodling, but at the same time asking God for a dream.
Yes.
And down comes the download.
That's right.
But not only did you receive the download, but you acted on it. So many people I have found is that they'll receive a download from God and then say, too risky, or I'm not going to step out like that. But you received it and acted on it. And so how many folks went through the program?
We had 150,000 participants in 12 years.
Wow.
That were impacted in their professional careers and in many other ways as well.
Mm. Now, what advice would you have for anybody who's listening to the show and they're trying to integrate their faith into the marketplace, but they're a little bit nervous about that? Because as you said, oftentimes we're told not to do that. And is there step one?
Don't make it so hard.
Mm.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Mm.
It's a partnership the Lord invites you into.
Mm-hmm.
He will meet you in it. I love to teach people how to start a day and end a day. Mm. And when I teach people how to start a day, I call it having a meeting with your CEO, Jesus, and getting with him, with your coffee, getting in the Word, and saying, oh, God, here we go again. Mm. Here are the people I'm going to meet with today. Lord, show me who needs to be seen, who needs some help, who needs a conflict resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go through your day and God just, it's not a formula. Here's
right,
the deal. It's
right,
not a formula.
Right, right.
It's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And God meets you in that sweet spot in business like no other place.
Mm-hmm.
In Mark 6:56, there's a scripture that says that they brought the sick and laid them all out around Jesus in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that they were begging to touch the hem of his garment.
Mm.
And everyone who did was healed.
Mm.
Well, see, in the marketplace, in our jobs as a realtor or a trainer or whatever it is that we do, there are sick people laid out all around us. Some are sick in their body.
Mm.
Some are sick in their heart with disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Some are sick in their minds with thoughts that are plaguing them and holding them back. And they're not going to go to the church house today. But they're right in front of you, and God's got a little church right in front of them if we'll just bless them and love them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be weird. You don't have to hop up on the table in the cafeteria and preach. I mean, we've done ourselves a little disservice here, and they're trying to figure out this marketplace ministry thing. I would say relax. Don't make it so hard. Ask God to flow through you in your day. Take a few notes. And once you pay attention like that, just hang on, because it just goes up from there.
And my little experience with what we're talking about is marketplace ministry. My little experience is that if you make yourself open to prayer and praying for people who need it, and if you ask God to put me in the place where I'm supposed to be today so I can minister and share your word or pray for somebody, it will generally happen. And but you, for me, the turning point was making myself available. And then what's interesting is once people know that you're available for prayer, the need for prayer, because there's a lot going on in people's lives that we don't even know about. But if you sort of make it known that you can go to Linda Fields in the office and she'll pray for you, mm-hmm. I have this need, people take you up on that.
It's true, Jeff. And, you know, something I do want to point out, when we just do our work with excellence and integrity and kindness and compassion, if you never open your mouth and pray with someone in your office, if you never open your Bible on your desk and do the Bible study, that God is equally pleased. And some people are kind of trying to force fit the prayer in the Bible. We want the prayer in the Bible. Right. That's where it all comes from. But they're missing the bandwidth of just being alive. You know, the scripture, Acts 1:1, talks about Jesus, and it says he began to do and teach. He began to do first. Mm. And in the doing of our work with the Lord, people see what they want and they ask for more. But often we're trying to rush to the end, what we believe is the real deal, which is the Bible study and the prayer. And that may or may not come, mm-hmm. but people are equally impacted, I'm finding.
Amen. This is Everyday Faith Radio and Linda Fields. It's been awesome having you on the program. I hope you have a great conference in Charlottesville. I know that you're going to be a blessing to a lot of folks, and we're going to have to get you back on this program again.
I'll come.
Thank you. We're going to bring you back. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you for joining us. We'd like to close with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Thanks for joining us. Have an awesome Sunday, everyone.
Heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need